Good evening. The scriptures for this evening is for July the 15th already. Matthew 26, verses 27 to 29, Psalms 116, verses 12 to 19, and ending up with Jeremiah 25, verses 15 and 16. So Matthew 26, 27 to 29. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And then turning back to Psalm 116, verses 12 to 19. Well, I'll mix it up a little bit. Here's Jeremiah 25, verses 15 and 16. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me. Take from my hand this cup filled with the wine of my wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. When they drink it, they will stagger and go mad because of the sword I will send among them." And now back to Psalm 116, verses 12 to 19. "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call in the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord."
I don't know why I bring this book, because I have all the notes written in bigger letters so that I can read them a little easier. You know, when you travel to various communities like I do, and then you hear, even as we just did now, prayer requests. And you go to various communities and hear prayer requests, and then I go home and then I get texts from my family and or Carol's family and hear, "Oh, somebody's brain is shrinking." I think sometimes mine is shrinking a little bit too, but maybe not as fast as the other person. But there's just problems. Like, there's so many problems. And as was mentioned here before the service started, even that, yeah, we have quite a senior congregation here. Not as many children. Now, I had the wonderful privilege of trying to entertain about 100 kids day before yesterday. Now, there's a challenge. But at the same time, if you can somehow get their attention, it's a real joyous time, because these people, these little people, they have life. I mean, it's like, whoa, if you say, there we were in this big tent, and I said, "You know what, we need to clear a spot in the center for a dance floor so that these kids can dance, so that they can blow some energy." I don't know, there may have been some parents there that thought, "Oh man, what is this guy asking our kids to do? Like, this is..." Anyway, these kids are just with it. Like, and they are saying, "I've got the joy down in my heart." Where? Down in my... And they, you know, they join right in. And it's very exciting. Like, little people like that. Thank you for coming. I don't know if you're going to understand a whole lot of what I'm going to say. But guess what the message is about. Come on. A cup. A cup. We're going to talk about a cup. Father, I just pray that this word would find some fertile soil, that we may be challenged and encouraged and warned, so that this hour spent would not just be sound, but there would be some valuable thoughts, valuable things to consider, Lord God, and that your name would be honored and glorified. In the name of Jesus, amen. Then he took the cup. He took the cup. And he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So Jesus hasn't been drinking. He hasn't been drinking of that cup. This cup of the new covenant. Now, certainly those of us who are seniors or getting close to senior's age, and maybe even somebody as young as Tony, they know what this new covenant is about. Do you know what the new covenant is about, you young'uns? No? Well, the new covenant is getting away from the Levitical way of worship and praise to the worship and praise in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, because he shed his blood for our sins. And so there needed to be no more sacrifice. My sins are forgiven because I've brought them to be covered by the blood of Jesus. That's the new covenant. And from time to time, there is what we refer to as communion served here, and that is in remembrance, precisely as Jesus said here, in remembrance. However, let's just, Matthew, I'm going to go on a little bit into Matthew 26, 39. When Jesus actually prayed that this cup would pass from him, that he wouldn't have to go through with this. Why? Well, because it was absolute physical anguish, but more than that, it was spiritual anguish, it was soul anguish, it was anguish, taking upon himself all the sins of mankind and dying on the cross, being the sacrifice for all of it. Paul makes reference to this very same event later on in 1 Corinthians. Is it too much? It's okay. Praise God. Paul makes mention of the same event in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so Paul makes reference of this very same event. This is sometime later when he is establishing churches. He is reminding people of the very thing that Jesus has done when he was in the position of the Last Supper with his disciples. And I believe it is quite clear in what we read to remember this and do this continually in our fellowships, in our churches, remind ourselves, remind one another of the wonderful sacrifice that the cup of the new covenant represents. Incredible, incredible. Well, from that cup, from the cup of the new covenant, I want to go into another cup. Another cup. But I want to read a little part of the portion, part of that chapter, Psalm 116. I'm going to start from verse 1, and I know the lady read from 12 to 19, but let me just start from verse 1. And one of the things that I would like to draw our attention to, and it's not so much in the early part, it's what the lady read earlier, these two words, I will. What does that mean? I will. Let's pretend we're in an adult Sunday school class now. A little bit of feedback. What does it mean? I will. Most of you have written out a will already. So you know a little bit about a will. So what does it mean, I will? Sorry? Legal authority, okay. Some other thought? I will. Guarantee? Okay. Let me just read. I love the Lord. Verse 1. 116. Psalm 116. Because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. What it's telling me here, I will, it says, this is what I will do. This is what I will do. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. And then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. What's the soul? The soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Deliver my soul. Why? Because very often it's in trouble, because we are worried, we are concerned, we have anxieties, we have fear, we have... Deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I'm so glad for that because I'm one of them. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Oh, hallelujah. I've thought about that frequently. Me kneeling there in the feed alley of that cow barn and receiving Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Do you ever get excited about the fact that you are saved, that the Lord has saved you? Huh. He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted, but then I said in haste, all men are liars. We've all maybe said that in haste sometimes, haven't we? They're all liars. We're dealing with liars constantly. Nobody had to teach me how to lie. That kind of came automatic. There had to come a day when I said, no mas. I'm done. No more lies. No more sins. I hate sin. I can go to a large group of people. I go into the prison. How come every time I come here, the next day I have to go to prison? Praise God, I can. I'm looking forward to it. But you know what? I tell the guys plainly, as I would tell you, I love you all. I love you people. I love to come here. I don't love your sin. And you'd better not love mine. But I love you. And when you're looking into the face of 20 men and you don't have any idea what kind of crimes they've committed, you've given each one of them a hug. And you tell them, I love you. I don't love your sin, but I love you. Now, you see, that can only happen by choice. Because it probably never feels right. It never feels good. So you have to choose to love. And, when we look around us and we say, what? Is it only lies that I ever hear? If I watch the news, is it just lies that I ever hear? What is it? Like, lies. Just like the psalmist says here, I said in my haste, they're all liars. And that's discouraging. But then at the same time, as I just finished saying, nobody had to teach me how to lie. I had to come to the place where no more. Truth. 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 Honesty. Honesty. Because if we don't come to that point, we will stumble and fall time and time again. Because it's a trap that Satan gets us in very quickly. Very quickly. And then we come to the portion that the lady read, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation. Oh, we're back to another cup. The cup of salvation. What about your cup of salvation? What about your cup of salvation? Like, okay, now this cup, empty. But it's a cup nonetheless. It's a cup. And I will take, okay, so this is the cup of salvation. So I'll take my cup of salvation. Bang, I got a cup. I got a cup of salvation. Empty. How's your cup of salvation? Is it empty? You may have the cup. Maybe it's empty. Oh, I know there's lots of people. Oh, no. You get saved and you have the Holy Spirit and you're full and it's all good. No. That vessel may be very, very empty. And when we have received, I'm speaking now of myself. When I received the cup of salvation, kneeling there in the feed alley of that cow barn, I have been saved. I had the cup of salvation. No question, I had it. But, my life was pretty empty. My life was pretty empty. I had to come to the point where I recognized and realized, you know what? I needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I need to have that cup filled to the point where I get excited about the fact that I have been saved. I know I am free and I have the liberty wherewith Christ has set me free. And therefore, as it says there in Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I will take the cup of salvation. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Praise God. Oh Lord, I truly am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. You get excited about it. I do. I go nuts. Almost. Over the fact that I have salvation. I am free. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and I will call upon the name of the Lord. This is the things that I will do. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. You know, day before yesterday, I got up 20 after 3. By 4 o'clock, I was in the car driving. I drove 2.5 hours, and I was in haze, just in time for breakfast. They were serving breakfast for those that were going to be singing and serving. They had the main tent set up, was 100 feet wide and 200 feet long. And then they had a couple of tents beside that. And they didn't hold the people that were there. There were well over 2,000 people there. And this is where I had the privilege of entertaining a bunch of young'uns like that. Yes! I get excited, and you know, there they are, right around me, right this, right close. And they are so curious about everything. They want to know how many strings are on there, and they want to know how this is called, and so on. And I tell them, it doesn't matter what I call it. It doesn't come anyway. But there I heard people. I mean, this is what I would refer to as an old-fashioned preaching, praying, singing, testifying event. 2,400 people, maybe that was not counting the kids, adults, 2,400 adults. They served lunch to all of them within 1 hour. Now Jesus did it a little faster than that, I know, but You know, to me, it was just exciting to be in that setting, to be there. And when they gave me half hour time to sing for the crowd there, I'll tell you what, I can hardly sing because I'm so excited. And there was preaching and there was testifying. It was just so incredible. Psalm 23, verse 5 and 6 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." It's not empty. It is full. And it's running over. And you know what? If you pour the Holy Spirit in here, you put this cup down, and you pour something in here. Let's imagine the Holy Spirit. You pour the Holy Spirit in. Half full. The cup is still controlling what you're pouring in, isn't it? And you keep pouring in, and then it's full. And you keep pouring in. What happens? It runs over. Well, this is what the psalmist says here. My cup runs over. And now, when the cup runs over, what happens? You see, now the cup is not containing it. Now it's starting to affect what's around it. I'm going to tell you something. You young ones and the older ones, they can listen too. But I'm going to tell you something. When your cup is running over, and you've all done it. You must have done it. You've sat at the table and poured milk in a cup or whatever, and it ran over. Huh. You didn't stop quite in time. So it was running over. Now what happened? The what? You share it around, yes, but when it's running over, the sheet that's on the table, it gets wet. It's starting to affect what is around the cup. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what we should be happening in our lives when we are filled with the Spirit of God and it's running over. It will affect other people around us. There's just no getting around it. But when we're half full or empty, you can go for weeks and never affect anybody. Oh yeah, you got the Holy Spirit. You got it. But it ain't running over. Should be running over. Should be running out. I am delighted when I got to the point where it runs over. You know, the time. Every time when I'm having fun, the time just races. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 and 21, it says, "Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons." Why am I reading this verse? Well, I'll tell you what. Day before yesterday, in the place where I heard testimonies, numerous testimonies of people that had operated in the presence and with demons in their life. The demons were, they had got them as a child. They didn't ask for them. It was a generational curse that had got handed down to them, and there they were, and the demons were on their case, and they had accepted Jesus, and the demons were still coming, and they were still coming. See, the devil doesn't give up easy. And it says in verse 21 here, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons." And so when this person, as he was testifying, when he recognized and realized that these demons that were constantly haunting him and on his case, he had to get rid of them. He had to get rid of them. And how many of you remember the verse that says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world"? There comes a time of faith and realization that, you know what? I do not have to mess with demons forever. If the Spirit of God is in me, and if I am filled to overflowing, as the psalmist says there, if I am filled to that, I have the authority and the power in the name of Jesus of Nazareth to tell those demons, get out, and you're not coming back. You're finished. But I'll tell you where the problem is. When people will accept Jesus and their sin are washed away, but they don't go to the Word and get filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it say? The demons will come back, and it's going to be worse than from the start. You have a phone like that? Really? I'm glad I don't have a phone like that. I'd stomp it. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, my time is gone. But I want to speak a little bit about in your purse. Crickets. There's another cup that I want to quickly speak a little bit about before we have a shutdown. I should be shutting down now, but there's another cup. It is a cup of judgment and God's wrath. And I have a sneaking suspicion that that cup is coming very close to full. And when that cup is going to be full, and God is going to pour it out, that cup of judgment and wrath, you and I do not want to be here. We want to be gone. For thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, take this wine cup of fury and from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. This is what God is going to do. And somehow I think we are getting a little bit of a glimpse. If we listen to the news of what's going on in the Middle East, we're getting a little bit of a glimpse. And I'm saying a little bit of a glimpse. It's going to be way worse. It's going to get really bad. Revelation 16:19, I'm going to close with this. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. There is exciting things for us when we take the helmet or the cup of salvation. When we get this cup full, as the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. But let's make no mistake about it. God's cup of wrath is fast filling up. And it will be poured out. And it will be poured out upon all nations. Not some, all of them. So let us pray. Father, we recognize and realize that no, just because we are in the Eastern Hemisphere, that doesn't mean that we are exempt. Just because we do not live in the Middle East, that doesn't mean that our nation is exempt. The cup of your wrath is fast filling up. Oh, Father, help us to live lives that bring honor and glory to your name. Help us, Lord God, to have the cup of salvation that is full and running over, even as the psalmist said. That it may indeed affect other people around us in a very positive manner. That we may be filled with joy and praise and thanksgiving, honoring and glorifying your name because of what you have done for us. Thank you for this blessed conversation and wonderful group of people that gather here every Tuesday. This congregation, Lord God, I pray blessing upon them in the name of Jesus. And the young ones that came, Father God, I pray that you bless them. Hold them, strengthen them, draw them unto yourself. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. On the table in the back there, I have a number of these papers. I have memorized all these scriptures from A to Z. Take one of them if you like. Give it a whirl. You can do it.